I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It's a crazy world out there. We're still in this, but you know, we're getting super close to the election. So make sure that you are registered. If you don't know if you're registered, easy. You can look it up online. It takes 2 seconds. And if you're able to, you can sign up to be a volunteer at a polling place. It's a great time to get out there and help your community. As you know, a lot of the times people who run polling places are senior citizens. So it's great to get out there and help them stay safe and stay healthy by volunteering your time. I put in my application last week and I'm just kind of waiting to hear if I get assigned a polling place because I think it'd be really fun to do that. Today on the show, we have Naomi Grossman. You know her best from American Horror Story, where she played the iconic role of Pepper. She's done a million things. She's pretty awesome. And she was even up for an Emmy in 2018 for her work in Control-Alt-Delete. So here's that conversation with Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
How are you on this quarantined day?
Oh, here we are, you know, just another day.
Another day. How have you been spending your time?
Oh, well, gosh, it's funny, you know, the first month, I feel like now people are like, oh gosh, it's really getting to me. I'm like, getting to you? Like, I was like ugly crying within the first like 12 hours. Now I've really kind of like settled in, you know what I mean? Like I was... Yeah. Initially, like month of March, I was like just a monkey, like just slinging poo at the cage, you know? And now I've just really settled into it. I kind of, you know, I'm in my routine, sleep till 10, nap around noon. No, I mean, I'm kind of exaggerating. But I do find that, you know, being creative and being active are my friends. Like I have to write and or, you know, bicycle, swim, yoga, something very aggressively for many, many hours a day. And then, you know, that will keep me from full on, you know, Whitney Houstoning.
So funny. I'm such like a, as I've gotten older, I've turned into a total homebody. So for me, I've just been like, oh, I can finally watch all of the Marvel movies. Great. I'm going to do that.
Somebody said to me, we're all on the same roller coaster. We're just not all on the same part of the ride. You know, some people are at the helm, like about to drop.
Yeah.
And some people are still just coming up. You know, I like that.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
That's very true. I have gotten to that point where I'm like, I need human interaction badly.
Yeah.
Which is why we have the show. Keep some bit of human interaction going on.
I love it.
So thank you very much. So take me back to how you started in this industry, because everybody knows you now from American Horror Story, which you play Pepper in. That's like the coolest character ever and super exciting. But how did you get started in all this?
Well, it's funny. You know, I knew, having done my research on you, that, you know, your show is a lot about like auditioning and what works and mostly what doesn't. And my first audition ever was for a children's theater company that literally, like, I'd seen at our public library. And, you know, I should have gotten it. Like, it's literally, like, they're just choosing, like, kids who are, you know, ebullient. Like, you didn't have to really do much more than that. I didn't. I was not cast. And so, but you know, I wasn't going to let that get to me. They offered workshops and I thought, oh, well, perfect. I'll just, you know, I'll take their classes and, you know, and eventually maybe I'll get in their little company, which was, you know, so sure enough, I remember specifically going to, I know the long answer to your question, but so basically my very first acting class, which was kind of, you know, a creative dramatics class for, you know, you got to imagine like 7 to 13 year olds, right?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So you were very young.
I was probably, 10 or 11. And and I remember the teacher had us, you know, paint with your hand, paint with the right hand, paint with the left hand, and, you know, and pretty much you're painting with your toes, paint with your whole body. And I swear I was giving it my all. And I painted so hard, I full on projectile vomited all over. This is the very first. My very first acting class, my very first exercise, my very first everything. And it was like the fact that not only came back the next week, but like decided to like dedicate my life to this truly shows you like my level of dedication.
Man, you have some commitment.
Or I just got a problem. Like, So, the fact is my folks were really, amazing about, exposing me to culture growing up. We go to, you know, the ballet and the opera and the theater and the Philharmonic, you name it. And I always just, I wanted to be up there, you know, under those lights. And, so yeah, you know, the first, you know, real, step was to, I did finally get into the, this children's theater company in Denver. I did get in finally. I think they just couldn't let me go. They were like,
God, if I see this child one more time, just give it to
her.
Anything.
They were like, she's not going anywhere. So, I took the classes and I got in the company and, it's funny. Some of the kids that, were in that with me are still at it, just like I am. You're like, still like a, kind of a crew that, you know, we keep tabs on ourselves. My buddy Marcus is like the consummate bailiff cop on like every show. Like he's pulled over everybody. My friend Vargas is a stand-up, he travels all over the world on cruises and, you know, performing for the troops. You know, a bazillion Disney voices. So, you know, we're still at it. Like these same kids who, you know, I vomited on 25, 30 years later, you know, we're still at it.
I love that. You know, I grew up acting as well, and I still have friends that, you know, we were 8 or 10 when we started together in the industry, and we're all still going at it. There's a lot who dropped off, mind you, but there's still a good amount sticking through it. It's pretty crazy. So you did this as a child, and then did you go to college for this as well, or where? How did it get into your adult life?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I never even considered doing anything else. Northwestern University was like the top of the, you know, U.S. News and World Report, whatever theater schools at the time. So like, I just never thought to go anywhere else. Like I needed, you know, whatever that was number one. It's funny. I took a year off, pretty much like ditched senior year in school to go be an exchange student in Argentina.
Oh, fun.
It's interesting. It was like the one time in really my whole life that I've done something that wasn't like absolutely like, you know, focused on theater or, you know, film and TV. But ironically, it was actually like the most informative thing I've ever done for my career. You know, the stories that came out of that year, you know, basically were my muse for my first one-woman show. The Spanish I learned ended up becoming my sort of survival side job skill.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you know, waiting tables at Latin nightclubs to teaching Spanish at the Playboy Mansion, among other places.
What?
Yes. So, hey, listen, Playmates need to speak Spanish too. I don't know.
I agree. I think that should be a new requirement.
Yeah, right? ¿Quién es más macho? Jefe es más macho. Anyway, but yeah, so, you know, I did, like, that was the first year that I kind of came away and I was like, wait a minute, maybe I could do something else. But, you know, at that point I was already in school and I was already a theater major. And so you know, I did that. And, you know, 4 years later, I was not quite done with Argentina. And so I did sort of sow my oats, as you do after college, traveled around South America. And I did think about staying.
Really?
I did. And actually, this is what that first solo show is all about. Not to, you know, spoiler alert. but, you know, my host mom basically said, you know, you need to do what you love, not just be in the place you love, you know, you love it here. The food is far superior, you know, to your McDonald's and, yes, you love the men, of course. It's like, but at a certain point, you're gonna get bored. Like it's gonna be like brushing your teeth. Like, do you look forward to brushing your teeth? So, I mean, that was good advice. Because let's face it, like, had I gone there, I mean, I wouldn't have an acting career. Like
you wouldn't have the life you have now.
No way. I mean, maybe I could have gotten some parts, but I would have been kind of like, obviously the kind of oddball American, even with my, you know, immaculate Spanish, like it would have, So no.
Have you gone back since then? Have you been back to Argentina?
Many, many times. In fact, it's weird. My dad happened to since move there, you know.
Oh, wow.
Parents following their children's footsteps. so yeah, actually now that's like where I go home to, which is totally bizarre.
Kismet of that.
I know, right?
Like what an interesting way to actually still call that home.
Right. Isn't that funny? It's like I almost manifested it. Like it felt like home and now it is. And actually, funny enough, my mom is doing theater. So go figure.
Wow. Yeah. I love that you really influenced your parents.
I know, right?
That's so funny.
Very funny.
So you come back from Argentina and then what?
Moved to LA. My college boyfriend was a PA on Friends, which was, you know, the big show at the time, of course. So, you know, I don't know if I thought he was going to, I don't know. I thought if anything that we last longer than the like 24 hours that we did, but I was still, you know, committed to being here. You know, I'm not going to lie. Like he did, he made the decision between New York and LA easy, but you know, the sunshine and you know, weather sort of closed it.
Yeah,
even after the relationship dwindled. But yeah, besides, I always wanted to do television, and which is funny because my folks actually forbade TV.
Really?
Yeah, they were like uber cultured. Like I remember I was caught watching that movie Clueless back in college.
Oh, God, yes.
And they were like, what kind of trash are you watching? I don't know why. I gave them a British accent. They're not. But like, they're bad.
It's just more posh sounding.
Exactly. So, and of course, like the only way I could justify watching this, you know, drizzle is the fact that it was based on a Jane Austen movie. The minute I justified that, they were like, oh. You know, now they're settling down to watch.
It's a spin on Jane Austen. Interesting. Yeah,
totally. So, you know, basically you've got to imagine, like, I was a kid who, you know, while other kids were off, like, sneaking, you know, cigarettes, I was sneaking, like, The Cosby Show, you know?
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, you know, parents, let your kids watch television. They might grow up wanting to be a TV star.
I feel like there's no child, at least in America, that doesn't watch TV now.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, it's so much better than it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much, I mean, not only artful television, but there's so much informative television. I mean, all these docu-series, and it's not all just, you know, reality trash, although there's plenty of that too.
don't you know it?
Yeah. Anyway, I guess it's funny, but I always wanted to be on TV specifically. I think I just wanted to be a part of people's life on a weekly basis. You know, like they would join into my life, or I would join into theirs. You know, once a week. Of course, now it's like you know people binge
it all. Yeah. They binge it all.
But that, you know, so that's why I, even though I was obviously trained in theater, I specifically had my sights set on TV, even though at the time there was still a stigma, you know, movies were definitely like that was the highbrow stuff, and TV was sort of second tier, but I don't know.
It's interesting. I mean, I definitely feel like there's been a rise in TV, because I started in the industry when it was like 2001 and film was still taken to the highest regard. And now it feels like it's just switched.
Right. I know. Well, now all the big movie stars want to be on TV.
Yep. So. Yep. Which means us people who did the guest stars are doing the co-stars now.
I know. If they'll even have us now, right?
Yeah. If they'll even audition us. Good Lord.
Oh my God.
So when did, because I read that you were a part of Groundlings for a while too. When did that come into play?
Yeah, let's see. I want to say I did that like 2001 to 2006. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I mean, it's a long process. Like if people, you know, want to be a Groundlings, like I'm like, well, do you want to be like, why not be an astronaut? Like that might be faster, you know, honestly. So yeah, I want to say I started in 2001 and I was fortunate to never have to repeat. It still took forever, you know, and, in 2005, 2006, I was in the Sunday Company.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people who aren't necessarily in the industry don't know, but it is kind of, I don't want to say pyramid scheme because that sounds super dodgy, but you know, it pretty much is a place that attracts anyone and everyone who was ever funny ever from high school. So you can imagine like there's this massive, you know, pool of people that are attracted to this, you know, little theater on Melrose. And then, 5 years later, there's a really select little crew. And, I mean, I was in my cast was 14 folks.
Wow.
All of which were just amazing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was a vote, as they do there. Mm-hmm. And they actually, let 10 of us go.
Oh my God.
Overnight. And it was really brutal.
Yeah.
But you know, at the same time, you really can't take it personally. It's at that level, it's almost like sorority rush. Mm. And they're just deciding who they want to the tea party. You know what I mean? It's not like anyone's, you can't have gotten that far and not be totally hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for that matter, I mean, the list of like truly legendary comics who've been let go from the Groundlings is so much longer than those who actually were Groundlings. You know, I mean,
funny.
I remember doing Adam Sandler's show once, and he is so funny. You can't even like get a word in edgewise.
Right.
You don't dare, you know, because it's only taking away from like laughs from him. And yet, you know, he was telling me he didn't get past like intermediate or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, part of me is like, I feel like I almost won in that I'm in this much more elite crowd of those that were actually let go.
Right. I love that. I love that spin. That's great.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Well, it took me a while to get there. Like, I do remember being let go and feeling like the world had ended. Like, I used to wear all my wigs that I'd accumulated over my time there, like, out in public because I was just – because I was so horrified of the person that I was, mostly,
oh,
like
–
well, I was – you know, I needed a job. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't – so I took to, you know, passing out gum at the festival or condoms at the bar or whatever,
love
you know,
ding
dong job that, you know, actors sometimes are forced to do.
Yep.
And yet I didn't want to be that person. So I figured if I could disappear into a character, then no one would catch, no one would know it was me. They'd think, you know, just this crazy lady in a wig.
Funny.
Which is what I was for a while.
Yeah, I was serious about that.
Yeah, I was caught by a girlfriend. She saw me. She's like, Naomi?
Oh my God, how awkward.
What's going on? What are you doing? And I pretended like I didn't know her. I mean, it was,
oh, no.
It was horrifying.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me about, because obviously you've probably talked about this so many times, but tell me about playing Pepper on American Horror Story, because that must have been just life-changing for you.
It was. I also didn't see it coming. Mm. You know, I mean, I got my SAG card on my 15th birthday. Mm. And I want to say I was cast as Pepper at age 37.
Wow.
So I'd been going 22 years of, you know, auditioning, mm-hmm. callbacks, on a veil, pinned, you name it. And nothing, you know.
Right.
You know, when they did cast me, I figured it was just one of like an army of pinheads. Mm. Like I was just like maybe a glorified extra type
role.
It never occurred to me that it could be this, you know, breakout thing. And who knows? I don't know that they even knew it. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I really get the sense that especially that show, because they're writing it as they go.
Right.
You know, I think that, that first day in that day room, you know, where you had the guy with Tourette's over to your left and the lady with the, you know, sex the obsession to your right, that they really just sort of threw a bunch of crazies in the day room and like see what stuck, you
right.
know, and watch the message boards, like
right.
check social media and see what folks are responding to. And, so,
it was you.
apparently, yeah.
Luckily, it was you.
Yeah, so that was great. But I didn't know that. You know, I mean, when Pepper went pee in episode 3 and
yeah.
sort of disappeared into the, you know, well, she was kicking it with the aliens, but I didn't know that. I mean, literally, like, I thought maybe I'd screwed up on set. And, you know, I mean, they did tell me, don't change your hair, which was a good sign of, you know, something to come. But I didn't know. I just, you know, people would, and then the show started to air and people would ask me, well, what happened? Where's Pepper? What's going on? And I'm like,
I don't know.
I can't touch my hair. That's all. That's the extent of what I know.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy that like they didn't tell you what they wanted to do with the character. Like that's wild to me.
Nothing. And even then, I mean, when they did call me back for, you know, this transformed Pepper, I didn't even, I would say, you know, I never got full scripts, not until season 4.
Wow.
So, you know, all I got was like the pages I was in. So I couldn't really follow, you know, the storyline at all.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing the pages that I was in and then these chunks of like monologue.
Mm.
And I'm like, how's this going to go down? Like she's basically nonverbal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember asking for my teeth cause I was like, I'm going to need to practice like this. They're not easy to talk in, much less,
you know,
intelligible or intelligent.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, I was literally in the makeup chair getting done up for the day to work, you know, to do those monologues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, verifying with the makeup people because they were kind of my connection to the producers. Like, just want to make sure when you say normal, like, what does that
what does
mean?
That actually mean? Can you please tell me what is normal?
Yeah, because normal Pepper, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
well, especially because it's like what you've been doing as Pepper is Pepper's normal to you.
That is
so
normal.
What is exactly. this normal that you're talking about?
Right. Yeah, no, it was, I mean, the good news is they cast an improviser, you know, who is used to changing on a dime. And like when you say, oh, like a doctor or like, a, you know, I can go, okay, I can do that.
Got it.
But yeah, it's true. I mean, they gave me a good month to prepare for the early Pepper. You know, I had the, you know, I was watching Freaks on a loop and I was like, I had all kinds of, you know, preparation, worked with a coach, you name it. And then I had, you know, hours sitting in the makeup chair to prepare for this, you know, normal Pepper.
Right. How crazy.
That's it
crazy,
is crazy
to me. But wow, what a wild ride that must have been.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
How fun.
So great.
So I also read that you were nominated for an Emmy in 2018 for Control-Alt-Delete. Tell me about that. What's that about?
Well, so that is a fun little abortion comedy. Oh. Because, you know, that's really fun.
Super funny.
No, it's my friends Roni Giva and Margaret Catch have this little web series, which is basically set in an abortion clinic. Mm. It's all based on real story, women's stories. When they asked me to be in it, I thought, yeah, why not? You know, Cheers is set in a bar and The Office is set in The Office.
Right.
Like, why not? Like, this is something we haven't really seen.
Yeah.
And I really like the message that there is comedy to be had everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and there really is. And especially because it does support, women's, right to choose. Mm-hmm. Just comedy is fine. And I'm all about that. I mean, let's face it. I was doing it at the Groundlings for mm-hmm. 5 years. But you know, at the same time, if that same comedy can deliver a message,
right,
then even better.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to have to watch that. Where can I find that?
I want to say Facebook.
Okay. I'm going to look it up after this.
I mean, I'm sure if you just Google Control-Alt-Delete, you'll find it. They've
done
two seasons now. The second season is much better in terms of just production value. Mm. Although my part isn't as good or as big. But there's a reason for it.
Okay.
It's that season two is actually all set in the course of one day.
Oh, wow.
And my role, Lorna, is what we call jokingly, of course, an aborcionado. So basically one who gets many abortions.
Oh, gosh.
Which is apparently a thing. Unfortunately for Lorna or me, there's only so many abortions you can get in a day. So basically, my role is diminished substantially in season two, sadly. But I'm in there. Anyway, it's cute. Second season they ended up getting, because of this nomination, I'm sure, although not exclusively, they got a lot of support from Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
And a lot of sort of these groups, women's groups, that were able to, you know, help their budget.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
So the point of this show is to tell funny or sad or something stories about auditions or things that you almost got. Do you have any stories that you'd like to share?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm pretty positive I went out for the role of Flo.
No.
You know, progressive. Yeah. So Stephanie Courtney, who's a groundling, actually got that role. Mm. And it's just funny because I've had so many people, you know, my own mom included, is like, you know, you should have been that girl. And of course, I'm like, I know, Mom. Like, I'm pretty sure I auditioned for it. Yeah, though Stephanie and I used to always go out for the same stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, it's funny. Of course, at the time, I was like, man, like, that would have been a paycheck. Like, mm-hmm. that would have pretty much changed the course of my life. But at the same time, let's face it, the course of my life changed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not have changed in the same way if I were Flo from Progressive. You know what I mean? So
true.
I just like that story because it lets you know, like, well, I don't know if there is a master plan, but I just know there's no sense in sort of micromanaging our careers and bemoaning what could have happened, because who knows, maybe the thing that's supposed to happen, you know, wouldn't have happened had that thing
right.
happened or whatever.
How funny. So that was probably, that was around the same time as when you auditioned for Pepper then.
Yeah, I want to say a couple years before. Like, okay. I definitely, you know, it was there to sort of plague me for a little while, but
right.
Not for long. And anytime I see Stephanie Courtney, I'm like, please, can we take a picture? Because the two of us side by side, I really do look like her, like, cracked out cousin. It's like, we totally could be sisters, but like, one of us was like the migrated twin. You know what I mean? One of us came out as just like a growth on her shoulder, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm thinking there's another audition story. I remember auditioning as a little girl for a Pop-Tart commercial and not getting the memo. It was basically one of those, if you remember back in the 80s, where there's a girl sunbathing on the top of a skyscraper and a Pop-Tart comes flying through. And I was supposed to be that girl that sits up in her bikini. Wow. Anyway, I did not get the memo that I was to wear my bathing suit.
Oh.
To the audition. Yeah. And so I remember having this real moment of truth there with the casting director in Denver as he asked me to, please disrobe. And there I was way too young, 15 years old, panicking, oh my God, this is it. This is the casting couch. How bad do I want this commercial? I wanted it bad enough to vomit everywhere, but fortunately I had the good sense in that moment to mention I wasn't wearing anything.
Good.
And she of course had a total meltdown and, ran into the waiting room to further disaster. So it all worked out, but it was one of those true moments that I remember deciding how bad did I want it?
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I know.
Oh God.
The other, audition story that I'm, reminded of is of course the Pepper audition, only because I remember walking into that waiting room and it was just me and a sea of little people.
Mm.
And I mean, I am short. I'm 5 feet of fun. And I have been up against, little people before. But it was one of those moments where I was God damn it. Does my agent not understand the difference between bona fide dwarf or what, legal, actual,
right,
what that is, and just being petite? There is a difference.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember in the back of my mind being you wasted my time. I drove to the valley.
You're
I memorized these lines. Yeah. I'm and here I am, this giant walking in. I want to say I even made a joke about it to the casting director. Don't know what you want me, what I'm doing here. and of course I killed it. It's the one audition in the 22 years that I actually really truly nailed. And I remember then, of course, driving home, berating myself like you do. It was such a good lesson to me, because the fact is, I'm just the actor. I'm not the casting director.
Right.
It is not my job to decide whether I'm too tall or too short or too ugly or too beautiful or too whatever. Who knew that I was what they wanted? In my mind, I was it's American Horror Story. If they want a freak, they're going to find a freak. Why? And then of course they did. That's the beauty of it all. But, and then of course the callback was really awesome, because that was really just entailed a meeting with makeup.
Wow.
So they basically, I drove to the makeup studio. I was still auditioning, but they took a bunch of pictures of me and a couple other actresses that they knew could handle the demands of the role. They later manipulated those images to see what I, would look like with all this makeup. And that's what's so crazy is, we actors, replay the audition a million times in our mind. Oh, if only I'd done it this way or said it that way. It doesn't matter. Who knew the bridge of my nose looked best? that's it. And it's not like I have a great nose. It's not remarkable in any way. I've never thought to change it, but I could have. And then I would have totally screwed myself out of this role. So,
yeah.
I just think it's a good lesson to actors to, again, stop casting.
Yeah.
just show up on time, know your lines, and just
show up,
do
the work, leave.
Yeah, and then forget about it. And you might look like the director's ex-wife, in which case you're screwed. under, you could be Laurence Olivier. It does not matter. You ain't it's getting past. So
it's
like, stop worrying about it.
I think,
you know,
I think there was a commercial that I did when I was a kid that the director had said that his ex-wife's name was Jillian. And it was like part of the reason why I got it. And I was like, interesting. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
It doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Actually, Pepper, I was a second, not the second choice, but they had cast actually someone else before me, an actual little person.
Mm.
And later decided, I don't know why, they needed someone completely proportionate. But
wow.
And that particular person was not. But yeah, who knew?
Who knew? How bizarre.
Again, not my problem, not
right.
my job.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I know. I feel like as actors, we also often be like, oh, well, you can just change my hair. You can do this. I'll do whatever you need me to do. But it's like, they'll do it if they want to do it.
Oh, sure. Exactly.
100%. I mean, I did a very small part on Castle years ago, and it was like a 2-day role, and they dyed my hair black. Like, if they really want you in that role, they're going to find a way to put you in that role.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. How can people find you on social media?
I'm at Naomi W. Grossman across all platforms. I'm verified, so
oh, just look for that little blue tick, friends.
That's right.
What else do you have coming up? Do you have anything that you filmed that's about to come out, or do you have things on the table that you're looking at?
Well, yeah, I did. I voiced a video game recently, which any big gamers listening will be excited about. It's the new Mafia.
Fun.
Which was, you know, big back in the day, and now it's making a comeback. Yeah, it was fun. You know, I got to do my Chicago accent, which I haven't done.
Nice, nice.
And then, I've been working during quarantine on my new next one-woman show. I've done, you know, two prior, and now I'm working on a third. And of course, who knows when we'll be able to be in theaters and with live audiences again. But, you know, the cool thing is ever since I've been working on this, I've sort of had my sights set doing it as a 1-hour comedy special, you know,
from
streaming services. And what's crazy is now that's probably just as likely to have happen as be in a theater with a live audience.
Totally.
So that's what's so crazy. Like, the thing that seemed at one time so unattainable and lofty is now like probably more likely.
100%
in this changing world.
Oh my gosh, well, I'm excited. Hopefully that that happens and we can all watch it.
Well, and you know, this has not been a great time for us, you know, extroverts who, you know, living alone, who, you know, really get our energy from people, but it has been good in that this is the one time. I mean, like I said, I've done this before twice, and still managed to have a life on the side. And now I have no life, but I also have no distractions, and there is nothing keeping me from working on this. And there's also no deadlines. You know what I mean? Like, it's done when I say so. And that's kind of awesome. So
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to try to find the silver lining here. Otherwise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to get ugly if you can't.
Right.
Well, thank you again so much. It was so nice talking to you.
Oh, it was so fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks again to Naomi for coming on the show. Tune in next week where I talk to my friend Denzel Whitaker. You know him from literally everything because he's in everything, but you probably know him best from Black Panther. So make sure to tune in next week for that. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. You can also follow us on social media for updates and graphics and all that kind of fun stuff that happens on the interwebs. Don't forget to tell your friends, your family, your cat about the show. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit. But more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.